So reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. If you're on the church Bibles, it's page 1082. It's also on the back screen as well. So let us read. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me. He was doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let us pray for Paul, shall we? Today, Father, we thank you for your precious and holy word. We do pray that this morning that you speak through Paul in an amazing and powerful way. Open our hearts, Lord, and may we come away from this place changed, knowing that we have met you and grown in you, Lord. We pray this in your loving and holy name. Amen.
I guess for many of you, hearing those words read this morning, familiar words to many of us, and words of enormous comfort. It's not one of the sad things. It's one of the truths that, if you were to say, well, what Bible passage is most read at a funeral, particularly a funeral of a believer, it probably would be from John chapter 14. And certainly, we would regard these words, not just those opening words, but the familiar words, such as "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We would regard those as being part of the bedrock of what it is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to. We could have some notes up here. Okay, well, that says it for me. I want to talk about, in a sense, what Jesus is doing here on this particular evening with his disciples. If we can go to the first situation and the first... That's it, yeah. Okay. We're in the upper room. The context really tells you as much as the words, in a sense. This is not, we're used, when we read the Gospels, we're used to Jesus having, I don't know about you, do you picture things in your head? I have this picture of Jesus perhaps sat somewhere, maybe in the countryside with his disciples gathered around him, with others perhaps listening in, and he's teaching. He's telling them. He's speaking to them about who he is, about the kind of people that God wants them to be, and about the kind of lives, and about what God desires. And we have this picture of a very kind of, I don't know, do you? A very calm sort of seminar type arrangement, maybe a discussion going on. I think that's fair enough for much of what we read in the Gospels. But I want you to just place yourself in this upper room with the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ and get a sense of the occasion here and get a sense of what is happening here. The Lord Jesus Christ has said to his disciples, "Do you know, I really need to have this time with you." Why? Because these are the last hours that Jesus will spend with men who have set aside everything in their lives, things they never believed might be possible in their lives, set aside work and everything else. We don't know the extent to which the kind of personal sacrifices they made to go with Jesus, but we do know that they have gone with Jesus for what? Something like 3 years. They've walked with him, talked with him. They've stayed in places with him. He's been there. He's been at hand. They've sometimes got themselves in trouble with him. Peter was particularly, he's recorded more than most. James and John as well, they got in trouble too. But they sometimes got themselves into trouble. But that's okay because Jesus has been there and he's put them right. And he's taken them off, kept them going on the path that they've been going. That's all going to end. That ends tonight. This is a deeply charged and emotional occasion. Jesus says to them, I've told you these things and I know I've made you sad. I want to comfort you. Let not your hearts be troubled. As I say, we read it in the context maybe of the loss of a loved one. The particular context here is, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry, but I'm leaving you. Well, in this form, in the way that you see now, to be with me, to be present together, I'm leaving you. Let's move on a bit. Yes. John chapter 13. John's account of this begins in John chapter 13 and doesn't finish until the end of John chapter 17. He doesn't know it, but John gives five chapters to this room. I say he doesn't know it because we put the chapters in later. He didn't sort of sit there thinking, I'll spend five chapters on this. But it's clearly important enough to John that he relates the evening in detail. Indeed, I'll come to this in a minute. He relates it in a great deal more detail than any of the other gospel writers. And since we think this is probably the last of the gospels to be written, clearly John has a purpose in spending so much time in what is said and done in the upper room. But we can see the importance of it, can't we? These will be the last hours that they will spend together. Jesus knows this, and it's beginning to dawn on them what it means. And again, it's not entirely apparent how much of this they're understanding. But we're told at the beginning of John chapter 13 that Jesus knows. He knows everything. He knows what's coming. He knows that when he's finished in this upper room, the next step will be Gethsemane. And Gethsemane leads on to trial and abuse and death. The shameful death of crucifixion. Jesus knows. And yet we're told that with all that knowledge, with all that is clearly before him, his concern is for them. Having loved his own, who are in this world, he loves them to the end. Don't dismiss Let not your hearts be troubled in this context as well, you know, we say it to each other all the time. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. And half the time we're looking at the other person and thinking, well, you say don't worry. You can't do anything about it. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says don't worry, we need to listen. Because he can. Because he is able. Obviously, part of what's happening here is that these are the last hours. I used to be a teacher for a long time. Hope that doesn't put anybody off me. I used to be a teacher, and you know, you teach like an exam course for a couple of years, and at the end, the exam would be looming large, wouldn't it? Who's done an exam in their lives? Just so that I know that, yeah, of course you have. And what do you do when you're getting close to the exam? Well, you start to think about the exam. You start to think, well, the test is coming soon. What do we do in the last lessons and in the last month or two before the exam? Come on, what do we do? Revision, thank you. I hope that's not hurt anybody. I'm sure there'll be somebody here who'll think, oh, revision, why does he have to talk about revision? I know I've got some to do. Do you think Jesus is revising with them? Do you think that maybe here in the upper room, he's thinking, right, these are the last hours I've got with them. I've taught them so much in these 3 years. I need to make sure that when I'm gone, they've got all these things in their mind. I'm going to revise. I'm going to go over it all for them. Well, apparently not really. It's surprising. At one point he says to them, look, you know, those things that I've taught you, well, actually the Holy Spirit's going to be able to bring these things back to your minds. So no, his concern at this precise moment is not that they should revise everything he's taught them so they'll be ready. Ready for what? Well, we often think that they've got to be ready now because their task is going to be preaching and declaring the gospel. They've got to be ready for something else. They've got to be ready for the next few hours, for the next few days, when every hope, every encouragement, everything that they've seen and done is going to be pretty much dashed in pieces. Everything that they've witnessed, everything that they've seen, amazing miracles. This man who has spoken with such enormous authority, who Peter has confessed, you are the Christ. And you know, in the next few hours, every hope that they've got is going to be crushed. It's going to come to a point where every single one of them has deserted and left him. And he'll be hanging dead on a cross. He's got to prepare them. Are they ready? Well, apparently not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting the disciples down in any sense. I'm identifying the fact that we'd all be in the same place as them in that situation. But what we have read to us already demonstrates that, no, they're not ready. Thomas, well, Lord, just show us the way. I am the way, Thomas. Philip got himself in trouble. What an evening to suddenly feel yourself on the sharp end of what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. Lord, just show us the Father. What? Have I been with you so long, Philip? And you don't know who I am. Think about this. Let's move on a slide. John, I want to just spend a bit of time. I said, you know, he's given all this time to this account of the upper room. He's different, John. I think we probably recognize that, don't we? The way he records, John has a purpose. And in these final hours, he's not busily saying, well, do you remember I told you this? Certainly some things are being brought back to their minds. He's taught them often about humility and not seeking status and power and in the way the world seeks it. And here in the upper room, he really drives that message home when he washes their feet. But his primary concern on this evening, if we click it again and again, is that they should know who he is after 3 years, after Peter's confession. And yet still, his assertion is, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been... John actually explains this. You've got it there in John chapter 20. I say John's different, you know. Do you ever look through John and think, oh, John doesn't mention this miracle or that particular... That's strange. He must have been there. Of course he was there. Peter, James, John, they were there at the most important points of Jesus' ministry. They were the ones drawn particularly close. Of course he was there. But you see, John has a purpose. John wants us to know what Jesus wanted to make sure they knew on that last evening. He wants us to know who Jesus is. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. I haven't tried to put everything down. I haven't tried to tell you everything. Why? Because I've chosen those parts that show you this, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I come to a point where I'm not quite sure how to put this across. I suppose this is the way I would put it. You know, there are a lot of things we can learn about Jesus. A lot of things we can learn about what he said. A lot of things that we can learn about the teaching of Jesus as it pertains to life and the people we are. Of course there are. But you know, nothing compares. None of that compares to the starting point, the recognition of who Jesus is. Don't you know? I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Don't you know that my words are the Father's words, that I do the Father's will? Don't you know that you have walked these last 3 years in the presence of God? Don't you know that God himself has come amongst you? And that the primary importance is to know him and to know his presence with you. Now, I've got the privilege, I'm coming back this evening, I hope you are, because this evening I want to go on and talk a little bit more about how Jesus continues to make his presence felt through the Holy Spirit. We know that there will be resurrection appearances, but we know too that these men they're still asking questions, and they will continue to ask questions of the risen Jesus that show that they're not ready yet for this. But what's the starting point of being ready to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him, to be used in his kingdom, to bear fruit for his name? What's the starting point? Well, knowing who he is. Knowing who you're dealing with. Knowing that when he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, it's not Paul Davis saying, oh, don't worry about that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God himself who says you don't need to worry because of me and who I am. Amen. We're going to pray. Loving Father, we thank you that in your great grace and mercy, you came into this world in your Son, that once and for all in the history of humanity, our God took the form of a man, and that for our salvation. Lord, we can't really grasp the enormity of this. We can see how utterly compelling and how utterly almost impossible it is that you should take upon yourself our flesh and dwell amongst us. Lord, rather than grasp it, as we desire to do, we pray, gracious God, that we might know it in our hearts, that we might know the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world and who continues to be present with us. Help us, Father, because we are way beyond our ability to comprehend. Help us by your grace. Help us by your Holy Spirit to wholly know what it means that the Lord Jesus Christ came for us and died for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing number 914.